can be heard every night at midnight and every afternoon at 5:58 on WUSB, Stony Brook.
Starting April the 18th, the constellation identified with the coming of spring is now in the sky each evening. It's Virgo, the Virgin. Virgo isn't easy to see since her stars are mostly faint, but you can pick out her brightest star, blue-white Spica, located near the moon Saturday night. The name Spica means ear of wheat. The constellation Virgo has long been called an earth goddess, associated with the coming of spring. There are many legends about this fertile goddess, like the Greek myth about Demeter and Persephone. It's said that Hades, the god of the underworld, fell in love with Persephone. But Demeter, the earth goddess and Persephone's mother, forbid the pair to marry. She knew that if her daughter married Hades, she'd go to live in the underworld forever. Well, finally, Hades was forced to steal Persephone. He saw her one day picking flowers in a field and swept her away in his black chariot. Without Persephone, Demeter refused to be comforted. She roamed around searching for her daughter and neglected her duties as earth goddess. A famine hung over the land until the king of the gods was forced to work out a compromise. Persephone would spend 6 months with her husband and 6 months on Mount Olympus with her mother. When Persephone is in the underworld, the earth goddess Demeter grieves and we have winter. But when Persephone returns to the sky, joy returns to the goddess and spring arrives. Well, that's star date for this 18th day of April. Our program is written by Deborah Bird and produced for the University of Texas McDonald Observatory. We're in Austin, Texas. Our zip is 78712. We welcome your cards and letters. If you have questions about astronomy, we'll try to answer them all. Thank you for being with me. I'm Joel Block.
Radio Free Long Island time. I'm not Mike Uhas, and I'm not Eric Corley.
Well, you're not. So what are you doing on the air?
I'm bothering you this time, for bothering me last time.
We enhanced your show last time.
All right, it's all yours.
Keep it down, Frank. Keep it down. I don't want to hear it.
Frank, you're not even supposed to be here.
Yeah. Right, yes, I am.
Get up off that chair. Let us take over.
I'm out of here.
Okay, beat it. In 3 hours, we'll see you next week.
That's the last time.
Let's go with that microphone.
Yeah,
okay.
Mike, take your microphone.
Thank you.
Sit down over here and take mine.
Hey, organize. What music is this?
I don't know.
Who's this?
I'm Mike Uhas.
Why do I hear your voice?
Eric Corley.
That's why.
Oh, okay. Well, we're here.
I'm here.
We are.
We just made it.
And Bill's gone. And
we didn't even have a blind date.
This chair still is squeaky. I mean, you know, I've been here for years, and the chair has always been squeaky.
Why are you back here?
There's some WD-40 in there. Really.
You can't say that over the air. That's a brand name.
What, WD-40?
Yes.
Oh, sorry.
Aww. WD-40. It'd be like saying, you know, Sears Motor Oil or something like that. You can't say that.
Don't say that.
I know. I'm making a point, though.
Ouch.
I'm allowed to say it when I'm making a point. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. 3 minutes after 12 o'clock, and Radio Free Long Island has taken over your airwaves. There's nothing to be afraid of. God, about 3 hours or so.
I'll see what I can do about those.
I hope so.
nick.
Proud to be an American, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Songs like that, huh? You know, like that, right? Let's turn this down a little bit.
Yes.
I guess you're wondering what that was. That was, of course, Pomp and Circumstance, but this is something completely different that our own chief engineer, Frank Burgert, is totally responsible for. Aren't you, Frank?
Yeah.
Yeah, he is.
frankly, the long-distance telephone call before, and he got a busy signal, but not only did he get a busy signal, he somehow managed
to hone in on about 100 telephone conversations.
At once. It's amazing. Something got fouled up in the phone company equipment.
A real snafu. Situation normal, and
I think,
fouled up.
I think right now we're listening to every single telephone conversation taking place on the West Coast or something. It's simply amazing.
Let's listen to it for
Listen for a few seconds and just take it in. What else can I say? Certainly does. Throughout all this, you can hear the busy signal that we originally got when we made the call. It's in the background. And I can imagine if we didn't get a busy signal, if we actually got through on this call, I wonder if we would be able to hear the other person.
Probably not.
These people weren't able to hear us because we tried yelling and screaming into the phone a little bit. Maybe not really, really screaming, but talking at a somewhat normal pace. They couldn't hear us. And they also wouldn't be able to hear each other, all the different ones. So they're carrying on with their conversations. But this gives you an idea of the magnitude of it all.
The amazing part of it all is how it just quickly departed after nearly an hour.
Well, yeah, we kept it, we recorded this about an hour ago, so, maybe a little more than that. And then suddenly just like that.
It just clicked away. It
just went away.
5 minutes past 11.
Yeah. But this is the way it was.
The way it was.
beans.
How many people do you think are involved in this right now, or were involved in it? I don't know. Too many. A lot of lives were being touched there.
Mm.
Interesting. Well, we're going to be contacting some people later on in New York City, I believe.
Yeah, we have, of course, our usual Bunky and Spunky later on.
Bunky and Spunky. We have the tripods coming up.
And a few assorted things.
Assorted tidbits.
So don't go away. It may be kind of depressing right now, but don't go away.
This isn't depressing. I kind of like listening to voices of the world, of the country, certainly.
Yeah, but the thing is, you can't make out what they're saying. Well,
occasionally you can get snatches of conversation.
Yeah. It doesn't last more than about a few seconds. We did encounter a lot of people laughing during their conversation.
It seems that way. It seems like America's a happy country. People are always in sort of a joyous mood. And why not, really?
Why not?
It's home sweet home.
Don't find it at all if they don't find. What is it, Bones?
He's drunk, Jim.
Bar Trek, coming soon to a theater near you.
Yeah, wasn't that just great?
I liked it. I thought it was very entertaining.
Old Rose and the Bow is what it's called. It was arranged by William C. Peters, and you know who that was on piano, Mike?
Tell me.
Peter Baskin.
Oh, no, really?
Really, Peter Baskin was on piano.
You know, if I had known that, we should have told our listeners that Peter Baskin was going to be on radio.
We can play it backwards now.
Okay.
Do that? Okay, I don't care. Peter Baskin on USB.
Backwards.
How else? Off speed, too.
Okay, I think they get the picture.
Yeah, they got the point. Before that, we heard a Life in the West with Clifford Jackson on baritone and Peter Baskin again on piano.
Again?
Yeah, that was written by two guys, G. Morris and Henry Russell.
When?
And we heard the... I don't know, it doesn't say. It does not say on here anywhere where that was written. At the beginning, we heard Sweet Home by the Harmonium Singers.
The Harmonium Singers? Was that what they were singing?
No, they were singing something else. That was A Life in the West. He was singing about hormones, it sounded like. But these are songs about late, or actually just 19th century Cincinnati. They call it Crossroads of the East and West. Where Home is what the record is called. It's very nice compilation.
Nice package.
Here. Yeah, I'll say.
Great packaging.
There's a song on here maybe you'd be interested in. It sounds pretty interesting. The Jovial Farmer Boy.
Oh.
What do you think of that? Maybe we'll listen to that later.
Sure.
It's Ohio, Frankfort Bell, the Louisville March.
Sure.
I thought Louisville's in Kentucky, but maybe there's one in Ohio, too.
No, it's Louisville.
Ooh, yeah.
Louisville.
Have you ever gone to this program would know what that meant.
Have you ever gone to Louisville?
No, I never have. Their sewers tend to back up.
And explode in Louisville.
Louisville.
I think we should tell the people we're talking about.
Well, why don't you then? You don't want to talk to the guy.
Well, we talked to a guy in Louisville, and apparently they call Louisville in Louisville.
We're talking about Louisville. They pronounce it differently down there.
They call it Louisville.
Yeah.
Louisville. Or
something to that effect.
Things
prior kind of to all that, and
they're kind of laid back and lazy, you know. They just hang out.
Well, I don't know if you should really say things like that because odds are somebody who knows somebody in Kentucky or has lived in Kentucky at one time in their lives is listening right
now. There's nobody listening. You and I both know it.
Those people are.
Frank, did you get my iced tea? Just come back for the money. Okay.
Prior to all that, we heard the noise of the telephones. And all the people who were talking on the phone.
It was truly amazing that in this day and age, we can still come across something as down-home and rural as like that.
Listen to those people laugh. They're really enjoying themselves out there.
This has to prove something.
Proves that things can always happen on telephones. I mean, I've been on phones a lot of times where suddenly somebody breaks into my conversation. I don't know how they do it. if I say that
right
the
now.
Telephone rings, I don't know what that means. But
we'll answer you in a few minutes.
Yeah, we'll get to you. As a suggestion, though, maybe people can call up and tell us crazy things that have happened to them on the phone, and we can relate those on the air. It might be interesting because everybody I know has some sort of a story about something weird that happened to them. I'm sure you do too, Mike.
No, but didn't you once tell me you called up one of, I think it was Dial a Joke or something, and you got someone?
Yeah, I called up, I think it was Sports Phone, and I ended up talking to a girl in Bayshore who was trying to call the weather. And neither one of us got through. I don't know how that happened. Another time, I was calling an office in Patchogue, I think, and I ended up talking to two ladies, actually, in Bohemia. Who had already been carrying on a conversation, and I just sort of like barged in on it. I apologized, of course. What could I do? I dialed the right number. I just
I had called up a number in Connecticut once. They never answered the phone, and it just went on and just been ringing. And after a while, this conversation, two women broke in. I was listening to them for a while, and then they hung up and then got back to the regular ringing.
You mean you listened to them and you didn't say anything?
Yeah, I started yelling, but they didn't hear me.
Oh, they didn't hear you. Well, sometimes they hear you, sometimes they don't. I understand it. It's really
unusual. A lot of weird things happen on phones. You get connected to places you never even heard of. Dial wrong numbers and they turn up as other crazy things. What we're going to do now, though,
we're going to get rid
of these people. Sorry. There they go. We're going to call up a payphone in New York City.
Right.
Now, I was in the city, I believe it was yesterday or one of those days, and I just happened to write down the phone number of a payphone because I always thought it'd be interesting to find out what kind of people answer payphones that are ringing.
Well, why don't you do that while I answer that gentleman or lady, whoever it is on the phone?
Well, how am I going to do that, though? Because you have to talk to the folks while I...
Well, you can do that.
Let me just play another federal song or something, a song out of Cincinnati, as soon as I get the turntable moving. There it is. Of course, we already heard this. This is the piano song. Peter Basquin on piano. Listen to Peter Basquin again.
Again?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Well, since you got back so soon, I guess we won't hear this other song. We'll just make
no,
a call
we
direct.
Won't accept your collect calls.
Someone was calling collect?
Yeah.
From where?
Northport.
Northport. Okay, let me make this call to New York. I'll be right back.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry about that.
You should not have done that, Eric. That was good. Eric has been working in this radio station for a period of, I guess about 6 years or so. No, probably about 4 years. And he doesn't know when to turn on and turn off one's microphone. And what happens was he turned off his microphone, and he didn't turn mine off, of course, because I'm talking right now. And all sorts of feedback. I don't know. He just dialed the number.
The number's ringing now. I believe this is on 53rd and 5th, but I might be wrong. How long do you think it'll take this person to answer, or whoever is walking
that's
around?
That's two. Five rings.
Five rings? I say more like 15 rings.
Three.
How much you want to bet on it?
No, no bet.
No bet?
Four.
This is four now, or three?
That was four.
That's four.
That's five.
Yeah, that was five.
Six.
Have you ever answered a payphone that was ringing?
Yeah.
And usually it's operators wanting money.
Usually.
Which, of course, you never give them.
You know, I think you won the bet.
Right, I won the bet, but we still haven't found anybody.
This is New York you're calling, remember?
Well, remember how long it took the London payphone to answer, though that wasn't a London payphone, I guess.
That's true. It took us all morning, and it turned out not to be a payphone, but the Chinese embassy in London.
In London, and, we had a short but enlightening conversation with the guard there, I guess.
Yeah.
But this I know to be a payphone because I went down there myself and wrote it down.
I was in Staten Island once, and... And my phone had, my car had broken down, and Frank has all sorts of goodies with him.
Great. Oh, good.
Nice teas for you and me.
Well, Frank, I didn't ask for one, but I'm thinking, as long as I have one, I'm
good. Good guy, good guy.
Are you going to go work on a transmitter now or something?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
Well, Frank's doing some transmitter work.
He's going to do preventative maintenance and
change the phone. We're calling a payphone.
Could you answer the phone for us?
Yeah, our telephone's ringing now.
Oh.
Maybe that's somebody at a payphone in New York.
Wouldn't it be
us?
Funny if Frank answered and it turned out to be him?
Who?
Us on the phone? Yeah.
Oh. I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah. No, anyway, what was I saying? My car had broken down in Staten Island. Lost my wheel bearings.
Oh, was that the time when you thought you had a flat and
yeah.
It turned out to be something totally different?
Yeah, it was lost my wheel bearing. And I had limped on to the mall or something down there.
Uh-huh.
And I... called up home and I told the folks, well, this is the number, and I gave my mother the number.
Yeah.
And she I said, call back in 10 minutes or so. So she was going to call back, and I gave her the number, and she called back, but the phone that rang was the one two away from the one I was dialing from. It was at a bunch
really?
Of phones. Yeah, so they had mislabeled them. So that's another interesting
guess
telephone
that's
story.
Possible. Maybe that's... No, I don't think that could have happened here. I think a phone is definitely ringing somewhere, but it's just nobody is... Maybe there's a group of people gathering around it right now, and they're sort of drawing straws to see who's going to answer it.
Right.
Because I always sort of hesitate myself to go up and talk to what I know is going to be a stranger.
Do you have any other numbers there?
Well, I have a number of the phone right next
right
to it.
Right next to it. You know, like fat lot of good that's going to do.
Well, it could do a lot of good if the bell on this phone is broken.
I was in a telephone
possibility.
I was in a telephone booth in New Hope, Pennsylvania.
What is it like down in French Guiana this time of year?
I'm teaching.
You're teaching?
Yeah.
Are you an American citizen?
Oh, no, I'm French.
You're French?
Yeah.
What do you like about New York?
Oh, I enjoyed it very much. I enjoyed it very much, but I've been amazed by the American way of life. I can't tell you exactly the feeling I had, but I've been amazed. I didn't imagine New York just as I discovered it. I had a foolish ideas about it. I had been told it was very dangerous and so on, and a lot of things. But my girlfriend is calling for me.
I wondered what happened there.
Oh?
I wondered what happened there.
What?
Right. Well, we heard a strange noise, and I wasn't sure what happened.
I tried to explain her. I was speaking but she didn't understand. Oh, yes, she's coming. She's
good.
Coming. Yeah, here she is.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's going on?
Oui, hello?
Can I speak to another person?
Sure.
Go on, Jacques, can we speak French?
No, thank you. What's
does she speak English?
Oh, just a few words.
Oh.
She understands, but when speaks very slowly and less than myself, and myself are I told myself.
Yeah.
Well, you have a fine night here in New York. And have a safe trip back.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you for talking with us.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
That was I don't know what to say with that.
That was a real treat.
It certainly was. We call a payphone in New York and we talk to somebody from French Guiana. You explain it to me.
You figure a New Yorker would answer, but oh no, New Yorkers are conditioned not to answer phones that are ringing.
I was hoping, yeah, it takes a person from French Canada to do it. I was hoping to speak to, like, you know, a typical New York person, but I'm happy I spoke to that, but we forgot to ask his name.
And we forgot to ask him what he taught.
That's true, too.
Let's call him back. Call him back on the phone right next to it.
Well, let's see if that phone's working. Well, I
don't know. Let's do it.
He wouldn't stay there that long.
That's true. Let's do it later.
I mean, he's probably walking off somewhere.
With a big smile on his face.
Yeah, he talked to somebody on the radio. interesting. Tell all the folks in French Guiana about that one. Well, we have the tripods coming your way very, very shortly. It's 1:02. This is Radio Free Long Island, WUSB, Stony Brook.
Come on over to the piano.
Oh, get off my
I just want to show you something.
Show me what?
I'm going to teach you a simple scale. It's
very
simple.
I don't know anything about music.
Now, just listen. Sing after me.
La.
La.
No.
La.
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 Time. Poor Johnny Wondo sang out with gusto and just overlorded the play. Poor Johnny Wondo yelled willy-nilly until he was blue in the face. For holding one note was his aim. Couldn't hear the brass, couldn't hear the drum. He was in a class by himself by gum. poor Johnny One Note. Got in Aida, indeed a great chance to be brave. He took his one note, howled like the north wind, brought forth wind and made it spray. While Verdi turned round in his grave, couldn't hear the flute or the big trombone. Everyone was mute. Johnny stood alone.
Captain Dobbs, Dobbs, Captain Lyons in the zoo, all were jealous of Johnny's big thrill. Thunderclaps, Dobbs, Cap, and traffic ceases roar, and they tell us Niagara's to kill. He stopped the train, whistle, boat, whistle, team, whistle, cow, Johnny One Note out loud. Sing Johnny One Note. Out.
Oh, you musical illiterate.
The hell with it.
Hi there. Are you the only person in your neighborhood who doesn't get off on Dallas? Do you read books? Can you add a column of four figures without the calculator? Tired of collecting epithets like egghead and intellectual? Well, now you can shed that surplus intelligence quickly and easily. Yes, the secret of Hollywood producers has finally been made available. Lobotomy in a can. Lobotomy in a can will take care of your problem. Rush 9995 to box 555-1212, Grand Central Station, New York, New York. So foolproof, we guarantee it. If you're capable of writing for a refund after use, we'll give it to you. Lobotomy in a can. Remember, if you understand it, you need it.
How do you like my new star?
What color is that?
Apricot, of course.
Why, of course, apricot?
Because it goes through my eyes. Very, very few people can wear apricot.
Can I borrow it sometime?
No, I'm sorry, you may not.
Why not?
Because I just told you, I'm the only one who can wear apricot.
You walked into the party like you were walking on to a yacht.
What?
You had strategically dipped below one eye. Your scarlet was apricot.
Yes, apricot.
You had one eye in the mirror as you watched yourself gavotte.
Gavotte.
And all the girls dreamed that they'd be your partner. They'd be your partner. Nova Scotia to see the total eclipse of the sun.
Saratoga,
well,
rhymes with
well
Nova Scotia.
You should be all the time. And when you're not, you're with some underworld spy or the wife.
Some underworld
spy wife.
What are you talking about?
You're so vain.
Oh,
you probably think the song is about you.
fool around with the wife of a close friend?
You are conceited and girl crazy, aren't you?
I think you're going crackers all
the way. I'd rather go crackers. You think you're a jet set kid or something.
Just because I buy an apricot scarf doesn't mean I'm
heard of
an apricot underworld
scarf.
People who
goes with your eyes. The only thing goes with your eyes is a black eye.
That's you're paranoid. That's your problem. You're paranoid.
You have delusions of grandeur.
And you think that's that man's our favorite mortuary type, Quincy.
That's from a record called The Odd Couple Sings. Odd Couple Sings, actually. Came out about 1973 or so. We heard Johnny One Note and You're So Vain. Really nice stuff on this album.
Yes, indeedy.
And not too many people have it either, from what I understand. It's kind of a collector's item now. And it's worth quite a lot of money someday.
Yep. Back to this stuff again.
Here we go.
Thank you.
Mark, is it true that this is the United States Coast Guard band?
It is the United States Coast Guard band. I don't know how you you knew that, but...
I think you just told me, but I didn't believe you. I wanted you to prove it to...
Here's the record cover right here. This is the United States Coast Guard band. Lieutenant Lewis J. Buckley, director. And...
I expected a whole bunch of butch, you know... types of playing,
well,
marching stuff.
It just shows a picture of a horn on the front, so you don't really know what they look like. It says, I don't know what this word is, M-U-C-M? What does that mean?
Muckum.
Well, muckum, obviously, but what does that mean?
No, it's upside down, and it's W-C-M-M-U-W, or something like that.
Well, it says Muckum James L. Diger, Jr., Assistant Director.
Oh, Major Commander or something, I don't know. It's a military abbreviation, isn't it?
Well, I never heard of Muckum before. Listen, if anybody out there knows Muckum, knows what Muckum means, give us a call, let us know, please, because this is going to... It's one of these things that's going to bug me for a long time if I don't find out. LT is easy. That means lieutenant.
Tell them their our phone number.
I can even figure out SGT, sergeant, and all that stuff, but...
Did you tell them our phone number?
No, I will. Our phone number is... why didn't we write it? Oh, there it is. 246-7901. And if you're calling from outside the 516 area code, our area code is...
516.
516. Hey, very good.
And you may need to add a 1 in front of that.
That's true, too. And you may have to put a 9 in front of that if you call from someplace else, like a campus phone or something.
Or inside your plant.
True. Inside your plant?
Yeah. I'd especially like to hear from security guards tonight.
Just trying to get in the way of our pizza. Well, they're not going to do it.
Well, they don't even have to be security guards on this campus.
They could be anxiety guards.
They, they could be security guards guarding an old factory or something.
That's true, too. Well, they listen to the radio more than anyone, I think.
That's true. I used to when I was a security guard.
And we respect their opinion. You were a security guard?
Yeah.
In fact, I should retract that statement.
I guarded the Scraggy Hill Elementary School.
That's really funny because I used to go to the Scraggy Hill Elementary School. We didn't find that out until after we, obviously until after we met, but it was just funny how we found that out. But you were in there the same year I was there.
Yeah.
I have to look in my little yearbook that I got that year and see if I see your face.
Well, I don't have a beard then.
You don't? Okay, that's going to make it hard. Have to... Make a strong effort.
You've never seen me without a beard, except probably back in fourth or fifth grade or something like that.
I probably ran into you a couple of times, or since you were older than me, you probably ran into me.
I was probably the bully that that always bullied you up, right?
No, there wasn't one, but
if
you're waiting for the opportunity, who knows?
Well, security guards, our number is 246-7901.
Area code 516. We're going to close out with the United States Coast Guard band and go into the tripod, so stay with us, won't you? in coordination with the Three Village Tobacco Farms, presents The Tripod Family, the story of one of America's most illustrious families and their struggle for security and happiness in the suburbs of Long Island. In our last episode, Uncle Jonathan surprised the Tripods by offering Howard a role in an upcoming motion picture. Now it's a few minutes later. Pop's gone out for a walk, Uncle Jonathan is on the telephone, and Howard and Kathy are discussing the situation. And we're here.
I don't know, Kathy. I've never had to face this sort of a decision
you
before.
You could be a star, Howard, with your good looks and charisma. You could be the next Clark Gable.
Yeah, I guess anything's possible. The only question I'm asking myself is whether or not I want to give up everything we have here on Long Island.
Oh, don't worry about that. There's not that much to give up in the first place.
I just think it's kind of...
Listen.
You get that money from him one way or the other.
I don't like how that sounds.
You understand that? Hmm. Yeah, I don't want to hear this.
That's my uncle.
Well, don't call me up and tell me something like that. Take care of it.
I just think it's kind of irresponsible to just pack up and fly off to some remote part of the world.
Goodbye.
I've never been like that. I like to do things in a rational fashion, that's all.
I know, dear, but I think the most rational thing for you to do would be to go wherever Uncle Jonathan sends you and make that movie. It'll open up a whole new future for all of us.
But what about you and Pop? I can't just leave you here.
Oh, we'll be all right. Don't worry for a moment about us.
I still have doubts.
Was that a business call, Uncle Jonathan?
Yes, it was. I'm sorry I took so long. So, Howard, have you decided to take me up on my film offer?
Well, we were just talking about that.
Yes, we were, and I was just telling Kathy that another disturbance in our lives might not be a good idea right now. After all, we're still adjusting to this new neighborhood.
What Howard's saying, Uncle Dear, is that he's afraid working on a film would take him away from the family while he's off somewhere in a remote part of the world.
Uh-huh. I see. Well, is this homemade lemonade, Kathy?
Oh, yes, it is. In fact, I made it yesterday, Uncle.
Oh, let me try some of that.
Watch out.
Watch out, Uncle. Oh, I'm so sorry, Kathy. I thought there was a table there.
Oh, that's okay. Well, I'll take care of it. Let's clean up this mess.
What we were saying was that it might do us more harm than good to start on something new right now. I mean, Kathy's already had such a hard time adjusting after moving from Big Bear City.
Well, I'm over that now, Howard.
Yes, and besides, you won't have to travel very far to work on it. The filming location is going to be on Whitney Island.
Where?
Whitney Island. You've heard of it, haven't you?
Isn't that just to the east of Long Island?
No, Kathy, you're thinking of Gardner's Island, or maybe you're thinking of Plum Island.
What's the one that the ferry goes to? Is that Block Island, or...
No, that's Fire Island, isn't it?
Well, no, I know that's not it. I was thinking of one of those little smaller ones out that way.
I could just tell you where it is. That would simplify things,
I think. No. Thanks,
no,
Uncle.
That's okay.
But we have to learn our geography. We have to learn about Long Island somehow.
That's right.
Sooner
we live here. We've got to learn about it.
Well, be now that we learn it.
I think it was Shelter Island you were thinking of, Kathy.
No. I know where that is. It's just east of Greenport or something like that. But there's another one. It's kind of to the northeast of this.
Let's think.
It's very small too. I don't think too many people live there.
Oh, maybe you mean Fisher's Island.
Ah, yes, that's it. I thought I'd never remember it.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Oh, but we still don't know where Whitney Island is.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Well, we give up, Uncle Jonathan. Where is this place?
What do you mean, we give up? It's not like the Tripods to give up.
Well, we have to give up. What? I mean, we don't know where it is. I've never heard of it before. Have you?
No, I guess I haven't. Uncle, where is it? Where did he go?
I don't know.
Uncle Jonathan.
He was standing here a minute ago. Uncle Jonathan.
Uncle Jonathan. Oh, no!
What in the world was that?
It sounded like our entire china collection. Oh, it was priceless.
Oh.
Uncle Jonathan, Uncle Jonathan, are you all right?
Yes. I'm sorry, Kathy. I just reached up to get one plate, and they all came down.
Oh, that's all right, Uncle.
Yes, we'll clean it up later.
Sure, won't be any problem.
Well, let's forget about this, though. We've been racking our brains trying to figure out where Whitney Island is.
Yes, and we haven't even been able to come up with anything, so... I guess we give up.
Well, I should have told you from the beginning. Whitney Island was first charted about 100 years ago by a Hungarian poet named Richardson.
Hmm.
Since then, though, few people have found out about it because it's so small and obscure.
Yeah, but where is it, Uncle? If it's so obscure, why don't you...
That depends. Some people say it's 75 miles east of Long Island. Others claim it's 125 miles to the south. But either way, it's perfect for the film I'm making.
Sounds good. What kind of film is it?
It's about two people who are stranded on a small island for 20 years,
20 years.
Yes, and the effect that that has on their lives.
20 years. That's a long time.
Yeah, I hope you don't have to film it for that long. you have a good sense of humor, Howard.
He sure does, doesn't he? I'll tell you, the whole family is simply in stitches sometimes.
I'll bet. So what is your final word on this, Howard? Do you want to be in the picture or not?
I don't think Howard's going to change his mind, Uncle Jonathan. Mm. He can be very stubborn sometimes.
I'm afraid she's right on that point. She knows me like a book.
Oh, just out of curiosity, Uncle, who did you pick to be the other person stranded on the island?
You know that French actress and fashion model? Oh, what's her name? Brigitte Leroux. Yes, that's it.
Brigitte Leroux?
Yes.
You really managed to get her?
Hey.
That's amazing.
I suppose you'll change your mind, Howard.
Forget it, Uncle Jonathan. When Howard makes up his mind on something, he never...
Wait a minute, Kathy. I think I've changed my mind.
And so, after not wanting to work on Uncle Jonathan's film at first, Howard appears to have had second thoughts. And you'll want to be with us next time when we'll hear Kathy say...
But why did he change his mind so suddenly?
That's next week on The Tripod Family, a presentation of the Three Village Tobacco Farms and Radio Free Long Island. This is Don Topeka.
Thank you. Eric's trying to call.
That same payphone again.
Well, we are going to try it, and I think we're going to get through this time. Maybe not somebody in French Guiana. Who knows? Well, we'll see what happens. We were listening to The Sorcerer's Apprentice, one of my favorites.
That guy wasn't in French Guiana, you
know. Well, no, I mean, he was a person from French Guiana, which is just as good, really.
Yes.
I think the next person we talk to will be a good old New Yorker. He's lived there for 35 years and can't understand the state of the world that's in today. That kind of thing.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But isn't that true of most New Yorkers?
It's true of most people.
I'll go along with that. It's true with me. I'll give you that.
What are we listening to? This is something you picked up.
Some player piano stuff for you.
Player piano? Aren't those the pianos that play themselves?
Yep.
So this piano's playing itself?
Mm-hmm. Supposedly, it cannot be, Can I talk there?
Yeah, go ahead.
We have three different sounds. You have me talking, you have a telephone ringing, and a player piano in the background.
A chair for you. I think that fit in very nicely.
It did.
So that piano was doing all that by itself. That was pretty good.
It was, you know, you punch the holes in the paper or that kind of thing. And the way he has it punched out is that you can't play it that way by yourself. You have to punch it out because there's too many finger movements.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I mean, it's impossible to play that unless it's a player piano. Is that it?
Yeah.
So a person couldn't do this.
True. Yeah. I wonder what would happen if you speeded it up.
What, the telephone?
Oh,
this.
Sounds like it got slower.
It does. Well, I guess because the low notes came in. Let's speed up even more. Huh? Now, no human could do that, that's for sure.
Yes. On a regular piano.
Or an irregular piano. Such as the one we have here.
Hello?
Oh, good evening.
Good evening.
We'd like to ask you a question.
Yeah?
What is your favorite radio station?
WBLS.
WBLS? Well, that's close.
Huh?
That's close. We're WUSB on Long Island.
Long Island?
Yeah.
Oh, this is Manhattan.
Yeah, I know it's Manhattan. It's probably a payphone, is that right? Where are you located?
What is it? Fifth Avenue and 57th Street.
57th Street, huh? And what are you doing tonight, sir?
Out for dinner.
Out for dinner. And you just saw a payphone ringing and you decided to answer it.
The whole group of us, so we ran over to the phone.
Oh, great. Well, what's your name?
Andrew Tom.
Well, it's very nice to meet you this way.
Greetings, Andrew.
Hello.
Is this the first time you've ever answered a payphone?
Yes, I suppose, yes.
That's interesting. Are you a native New Yorker?
Yes.
You are? What?
Fuck you.
Well, that certainly is a native New Yorker.
Yes.
No question about it. No question about it. I prefer French piano myself.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the play of piano.
Sure.
Thank you.
Okay, let's just do a brief wrap over this.
Well, why don't we do that then?
Okay.
I'll have to lower this first. There we go.
What are we going to talk about this time?
I don't know. What do you think the folks will be interested in talking about?
Well, why don't we tell them what we heard?
We heard somebody answer. We heard pianos and stuff.
Yeah, that's study number. I don't know.
37 or something.
37?
Pick that up. Sorry. But the important part is what's coming up next.
What is coming up next? Enjoy yourself.
Do you want to hear a gynecologist in a drum?
I don't know about that. Maybe bar track.
Bar Wars, coming soon to a theater near you.
Phew! Who wheeled in the dead sardines?
Oh, that's the new secretary. She doesn't know about gynecologist in a drum.
Yes, gynecologist in a drum, the industrial strength douche, will render you socially acceptable in no time at all.
Hi there, Toots. Say, aren't you a little cutie pie? Want to leave your desk and have a little tumble in the file cabinet?
I wish I knew her secret.
She uses gynecologist in a drum, and so should you.
Yeah.
This is WUSB in Stony Brook, Radio Free Long Island. Firing Squad with William F. Bunkley, the program that makes you think, or else.
Hyperbolic and somewhat antiquated nuances of a paternalistic society lies in the translucidity and overall neopolitic tendencies which convolute internally. For this reason, we have asked Mr. George Stanley of the hardware outlet of Hoboken to appear on the program tonight.
Thank you very much. It's a real pleasure to be here, I think.
Mr. Stanley, in your day-to-day cohabitual encounters with the disenfranchised entity known as the unencumbered masses that propagate freely and openly in our public streets, you surely come across a bilateral disproportion that completely fails to alleviate itself. How does a working man like yourself account for this?
Well, I don't really think about it all that much.
You see, I deal with household appliances for a living, and that's what I'd like to talk to the folks about tonight. Now, the average homeowner is perfectly capable of repairing most major appliances by himself before they become,
Well, I see. I can see, Mr. Stanley, that in your hypothesis is undoubtedly polydynastic in style. However, in substance, your argument resembles nothing so much as an amphibious structure lacking polyglycode. Now, perhaps you can explain to us the diversions which an embryonic pseudo-chronastic coagulate manifests upon an individual, such as yourself.
Well, I'll try. Now, let's say you hear a loud knocking coming from your refrigerator motor. A lot of people would just call the repairman without thinking about it.
No doubt an infectious consortium that appears to be transcendent in nature.
Yeah, something like that. Anyway, it's not necessary to do this. With the help of a very handy little device, most repairs can be completed within a few minutes.
I see, a technocratic geothermal triangulate which diverts all dogmatic tendencies into a trinomial lexicon.
Well, we prefer to call it a monkey wrench. And it's quite a handy little gadget, too. Now, let me show you how it...
But how does this fit into the realm of psychoanalytic reaffirmation as the working masses strengthen their cohesion and struggle to catch their anemic downtown bus?
Well, I... What? It's... What? It's not really...
Well, Mr. Stanley, it appears to me that your disassociation with the plebiscite and incongruous deregulation of the...
Do you know what he's talking about?
The tumultuous dissimilitude is heretofore, shall we say, incompatible with the felicitations of the 18th century farmer in the egalitarian hydrosphere.
What? Listen, Matt, I really don't know what in blazes you're talking about. Now, I'm here to discuss kitchen appliances, plain and simple, nothing else. Is that clear?
I'm afraid it's clear that you have no conception of the diatomic linear didactics that lie under the table of molecular desegregation. Obviously, there is no alternative but to circumnavigate your dissolute triumvirate as quickly as possible. Guys!
Hey, well, what the hell are you doing? Where are you taking me? Get away! This is an outrage! Get away!
Next week on Firing Squad, we'll be conversing with
my lawyer,
Neoplegic, on the witticisms of chronastic neotomy. Won't you join us? Thank you.
Printed transcript of this program, send $400 to William Bunkley, Post Office Box 44, Sloatsburg, New York.
Oh, I love it. Hit it, William Bunkley.
Yeah.
You have something to read there, Eric.
Oh, yes.
It turns out that a discussion on President Reagan's foreign policy, hosted by William F. Buckley. I don't know who that guy is.
Oh, boy. It must be some cheap imitation of William Buckley.
It will be airing on this week's edition of Firing Line.
Firing Line.
Silly name. Sunday, April 19th at 7 a.m. So set your alarm. FM 90.1 in Stony Brook.
Well, my name's Eric Corley.
No, your name's Mike Uhas.
Oh, I keep getting that mixed up with you.
Yeah, well, it's kind of hard sometimes, I know.
Yes, yes.
Well, it's quarter after two.
There's a man on our floor there, you know.
There are lots of people on our floor right now. I don't know what's going on here.
He's trying to be quiet.
Oh. Well, as long as they're trying. We're going to try to... go back to some more people in New York City. This time we'll be careful. I was really... I guess I put a lot of trust into human nature. That
you know, we have his name.
That's right, we do have his name.
His full name.
We recorded that, too.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get back in touch with him, and he'll be sorry he ever did that. As for the person in French Guiana, we'll...
We won't get back to him.
We won't get back to him ever either, but we'll still thank him over the air for letting us call him.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, are we going to go into a song?
You want to go into a song?
It's better than dead air.
Just give me the facts. You want the facts. A couple of 100 pounds, this one can't be found. Well, a pretty radio somehow left the ground. Getting proof on submarines, some of them for three. Cracked up for security, so hold the love. Oh, French, I've got the lead. It's deep on in the fridge. Very great migration. Rainy season. Union time, I hold the lead. Keep the golden sector key. They ain't done no test for years. That don't give them any excuse. Now we're looking for some relief. We know the things that you feel.
Guess what that translates in on Celsius?
I would guess 11. 13. Not bad. That was pretty close, considering I didn't even look at the conversion chart. I mean, I just picked that in. I guess I memorized the conversion chart is what I did.
Can you hear yourself now?
Very loudly now.
How about
painfully loud. Oh, no, it's not too bad.
I don't understand this. We're going to have to get our chief engineer in here. Let's call him up. I'm calling him up.
I could just yell and he'll come. I mean, he's in the next room.
But you didn't hang up the phone. No wonder it's not.
Well, no, the phone's still on the ground. I threw it over there.
No, yeah, it's ringing up on the other number now.
Well, that's life, Mike.
What happened to that?
You get your federal tax return in, I'm in state, too.
Well, I got my federal in, and I got it back.
How'd you do that so fast?
In February.
Oh.
And then I never got around to doing my state. You know, I finally got it in, but I haven't gotten it back yet.
You know, I always say I hate people who get it in very early because you resent them as April 15th comes around. They're looking at you smugly while you're frantically...
Okay, I'm just going to have to turn your microphone off.
There, and I think I'm being prejudiced against by not being allowed to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So...
So instead, what are you going to do?
Well, I did mine already. A lot of people, someone I know didn't do it, and we're going to find out what happens. What does happen if you don't do it?
I don't know. I really don't know. So, did we hear everything on that now?
Yes, we did.
Everything?
Everything.
Let's hear him again.
What is it, Bones?
He's drunk, Jim.
Bar Trek, coming soon to a theater near you.
I think because we're in mono.
Yeah, I think so, too. We are in mono now. Radio Free Long Island, we still are, but that was the selector. A lot of scratches on there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Why don't you tell me what's wrong from the selector? Nice album, too. It's Celebrate the Bullet.
It is, but
a lot of interesting people on there. Well, things are kind of at 6 and 7s here. We will be going off the air at 3 o'clock for some transmitter tests, if you're into that kind of thing. We hear all sorts of static, maybe a few tones. And
well, don't promise tones, because last time that happened was Saturday night.
Yeah.
For John Billing. He had his show. He had his show at midnight, and he only got to play three songs.
Three songs?
That's right.
Were they very long songs?
No, in fact, they were kind of short. And he said, stay tuned for some wild tones. And I did, and I didn't hear any. And I was very
depressed. What did you hear?
Depressed.
Oh, that's too bad. That's horrible.
You know what I'm very confused about here?
What's that?
It's this poster that showed up on our wall.
Yeah, I noticed that, too. Well, actually, I put it on our wall, to tell you the truth, but I didn't know, you know, who wrote whatever was written on it.
Where did you get it from?
I got it. It was in the record library, where we keep all the posters that are just lying there and not being put up. And I found that poster, and I said, hey, that looks like a nice poster. And plus, it says on it.
Well, let's just explain what it is.
Yeah,
it shows a picture of a saxophonist. Is that a tenor sax?
I don't think so. Well, I'm not sure.
People have told me I should play tenor 10 or 12 miles away,
Aren't you going to laugh?
Oh, was I supposed to laugh? Oh, the telephone rang. I guess that means something.
It pinged.
This is not supposed to happen.
Who brought that phone in here, anyway?
Well, that's Frank and the crew.
Somebody answered it.
Stop ringing.
Oh, okay. No, it's just...
I'll pay for that, Frank, wherever you are.
There's a picture of this fellow, Pat Maranzino. And friends and friends and friends and friends, it says. But it must be a fairly recent poster because he has a digital watch on.
Uh-huh.
And then it says to Mike and Eric, your friend, Pat. Is that a fact? That's what it says.
Well, I understand that. Maybe somebody forged it, or maybe he actually did write to us.
Yes, if anybody can tell us who this man is.
But then again, it was up there, you know, gathering dust. Maybe a long time ago, there was another Mike and Eric at this radio station. Maybe that poster was for them.
Could be, but I don't see any dust on it.
Well, I wiped it off and I put it up.
But how old could it be, though? He's wearing a digital watch.
Oh, he is. That's right. You have an eye for detail. That is a digital watch. It's a drawing of a digital watch.
Can you see what time it is?
It doesn't... It's not that accurate, I don't think. No, I don't see a time on it.
That can't be a Timex. Oh, we're not supposed to say the names like
Timex. You can't say, like Omicron.
Omicron and Bulova.
Famous brand, that type of stuff.
Famous brand.
Well, I think there is a company called Famous Brand. That's how they get away with it. They say, we sell Famous Brand stuff, and that's all they sell is stuff made by a company named Famous Brand.
No, I didn't know that.
It's very clever. So
extremely clever.
Hey, look who just walked in. It's Kate Pearson.
This is Kate from the B-52s, and when I come to Stony Brook, I tune in to WUSB, known as WUSB 90.1 FM.
Wow, thank you very much, yeah. Kate.
And, WUSB Stony Brook.
WUSB.
Sorry about the strange noises.
No, that's okay. We are going to call up the payphone in New York again. Are we going to try that one more time?
Sure.
All right, let's give it a try. Let me find that phone number first of all.
Yeah, why don't you go get the phone number first of all?
Okay, well, I'll do that. Hold on. I think the phone number is in the other room, and why don't you keep the folks entertained?
Sorry. This guy just says no one, you know, I don't know what's happening, I really don't. We still have some more Bunky and Spunky to come your way, but in the meantime...
Star Wars, coming soon to a theater near you.
Well, Eric's trying to make his telephone call.
I'm trying very hard.
He's got his credentials in.
I am dialing the telephone now.
He thinks. Actually, he's dialing the telephone 7 seconds ago.
Telephone's now ringing.
7 seconds ago it was ringing.
How confused is
it? I think we're confusing ourselves.
Payphone in New York City, take 3.
This is 4, isn't it, or 5?
Well, it's 3 for this phone, actually.
Oh.
I tried the one next to it a couple of times, and it doesn't seem to be working.
Are we still on the air?
I hope so. Yeah, we're still on the air. So, do you have any big plans for the upcoming days?
Big plans? No, not really.
That's good. As long as you stay out of trouble.
I'm doing a show on Saturday, today.
Oh, Jazz on the Air, 6 to 9 at night.
With Lewis Heckheimer, replaced by Mike Juhas.
Well, that should be interesting.
Oh, is this supposed to slide out like
no,
that?
No. Oh,
put that back. Sorry.
Don't ever tell anybody you did that.
Okay.
It's 2:45. And
what happens if I press this button?
Don't press that button. Please don't press that button. That button would take us right off the air.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, it's 2:45. And it's still 55 degrees.
And we still have a Bunky and Spunky to do.
Oh, there's another Bunky and Spunky waiting for us. Well.
Yeah.
I'm sure the folks will be looking forward to that. as well as other things. Like I said, we will be going off the air at 3 o'clock and feeding some very nice static to you for a few hours.
Until Bill McKenzie and Peter Lee come your way at about 6.
6 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
That should be worth waiting for.
I'll be back at 6 in the evening.
Oh, so exactly 12 hours from then.
Mm-hmm. Is it my imagination or did that ring just get louder?
Well, I'm turning the volume up, so, you know, it sounded loud enough. Louder.
The miracle of modern technology.
Oh, what a ring.
Of course, we're not going to hear that.
True. Well, somebody will.
Hello?
Hello.
Yes?
Yes, we're calling from radio station WUSB in Stony Brook, New York. We're sort of taking a poll as to what kind of people answer payphones ringing in the middle of the street.
Very stoned people.
Very stoned people, huh?
Sure thing.
Well, what is your name?
That's not necessary.
Oh, you can just give us something to call you.
What's that?
You can just give us something to call you.
Be
your real name.
Call me John.
John. Well, how you doing, John?
Pretty good. How are you doing?
Not too bad. What are you doing tonight?
What am I doing? I'm on my way home.
From where?
Excuse me?
From where?
The Ice Palace.
Oh, did you have a good time?
Yeah, real good.
That's nice. This is the corner of 5th and 57th, if I'm not mistaken.
Got it.
That's very nice. And have you ever answered payphones ringing before?
As a matter of fact, no.
So this is the first for you?
Yeah, see that it's the first.
I see. So, are you a native New Yorker?
Yes, I am.
What part of New York are you from?
The city.
Just Manhattan?
Yep.
Oh, that's very nice to know. We just wanted to find out what people are doing over there. Are there a lot of people hanging around that part of town?
No.
Because the phone was ringing for quite a long time.
There's nothing much happening, I guess.
Yeah, that's true, I guess.
I was just walking to get a cab.
What's the weather like there in New York?
Great.
Yeah, nice and warm outside?
Yeah, beautiful.
Well, tomorrow's a weekend. You have anything planned for a nice, big, beautiful Saturday?
Well, we are working.
Oh, you're working?
Yeah.
Oh. Do you have an exciting job, at least?
I don't know.
Well.
You're going to have to excuse me because there's a cab and I've been looking for one.
Okay, well, good luck on that cab, and you have yourself a pleasant lifetime.
Thanks for calling.
Didn't catch that one, Mike. Wow, that was an interesting person.
Call back in 5 minutes or so.
Well, we still have 12 minutes left in the program. Maybe we'll call back one more time and say howdy or something like that.
Something like that. We don't need this music in the background.
No, let's have it in the foreground. You happy?
No, not at all. Well, I must thank John.
Yeah, John was his name?
John was his name, or his alias.
That's true, yeah. Well, it was a very good alias, I must say. Just found a cab, and the cab is now driving home.
I once called San Francisco, and I got a guy that sounded exactly like him.
Really? Maybe it was him.
Could be.
I should have asked him if he ever went to San Francisco. That might have answered some questions.
Yeah, that's true. Are you beating along to the music?
That's good stuff. I will call back and try one more time.
How about right now?
Yeah, what if he didn't get that cab? He'll come back.
We'll talk to him for a little while longer.
Okay.
I think this is the selector we're listening to. Greatest album on Smith Shakes. Eric should know the number by heart, but he doesn't.
Okay, the phone's ringing again. And tell me something, Michael. The person who answers this phone be male or female?
I'm not sure.
Will it be young or old?
I'm not sure.
You happy?
Yes.
Will he be a native New Yorker or somebody from out of town?
John just said it's not a very busy corner.
Well, you're the one who wanted to call back.
Well.
Personally, I think the only type of people we're going to get at this time of night, at that corner.
Well, wait a minute. Now, who
are going to be very strange people?
Our security guards, which we haven't heard from
today. Why aren't security guards be walking around on the corner of 57th and 5th?
In New York City.
They just lost their jobs, and then they'll be upset, and they'll take it out on us.
Well, that's one way of looking at it. They could be undercover dicks.
That's true. In which case, they'll suspect us of doing something.
Whoever answers the phone, let's ask for the drugs.
We should approach this in a different way. See what somebody's reaction to a really wild question would be.
What would the wild question be?
Well, you ask them something like, you ask them to look for something that's bound to be there. Like a building across the street. You see the window on the third floor? The one right straight ahead of you?
You see the guy aiming a gun at you?
We're going to get a response, I guess. You tell him to do something like that.
Okay, do it. So somebody answers.
Well, if it's not a very busy corner, then the sound of the ring will carry quite a bit. And you may even be able to hear it down in,
the Bronx or
something. The 40s or something, yeah. And then they come running up to answer it. I always find it an adventure when a phone rings and I get to answer it.
Yeah, you answer pay phones?
Sure, all the time. Whenever I find it. Once I was an important message for somebody who was standing a few feet away out of hearing distance.
Occasionally I'll answer.
He was very happy that I answered it for him.
Really?
And I made a friend.
Good. Why did he call?
I made up for the one I lost before.
Why did he call?
He wanted to speak to... actually it was a she. Yeah, she wanted to speak to this person that was urgent.
That wasn't there.
That was supposed to be there, but wasn't.
Oh, so
it was actually a few feet away.
You spoke to her instead?
Well, I calmed her down and got the guy.
I answered the phone. Somebody called me up and I answered the phone. Gracie speaking?
Well, that's your problem.
I suppose I should explain that.
Maybe you should. If you feel obligated to.
Yeah. The lady at work who always answers the phone, Gracie speaking, and it wore off. What's that noise?
That's it taking off into space.
There we go. Why did you rewind that tape? It says Tails Auto.
You should have fast-forwarded it. Oh, boy. Well, you didn't say anything. You just... I'm sorry. Mike, nobody's going to answer this phone. It's 2:54 in the morning, both here and in New York City. Everybody's gone to bed, I guess. It's just too late.
Well, we're going to be going shortly.
Well, I think I've had about enough of this.
What's the matter, Frank?
They can't find the paperwork.
Oh, they're in the other room.
Chief Engineer Frank Berger is always misplacing things. What was it that time?
He found them. He found them. He found his equalizers.
He lost his equalizers, huh?
Yes.
Did you find your equalizers?
Yeah.
He found them.
I heard you say it twice.
That's because what we're saying actually happened 7 seconds ago.
Say that again.
Say what again?
I didn't say anything.
No, he said say that again.
What?
Where is he coming from?
Where is who coming from?
I hear a voice. How's he doing that?
That's us 6 seconds ago.
I don't hear myself.
Ow! The other guy behind the console.
Oh, he's behind that thing.
Why do you want to do that?
I don't know.
I don't know.
This is a true treat for...
Can you hear me?
Why not? I can hear you.
Let me try doing it this way.
A true treat for...
Oh! Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Let me try doing it this way. Oh!
Yes, hello.
Hello.
Good evening.
We are
calling from a radio station, and we would like to know what kind of people answer telephones in the middle of the
night. We're normal people like me today.
You're normal, huh?
Right.
Oh, that's great. Well, what brought you by 57th and 5th on a Friday night?
I just came from Reflections.
You came from where?
Reflections.
Reflections. Okay, well, did you have a good time there?
Oh, great time.
Yeah? And you're heading home now?
Yeah.
You live in New York City?
Yes, sir, in the Bronx.
In the Bronx. Great.
City Bronx.
Are you going to take a subway up there or a bus or something? You're taking a subway or a cab?
Yeah, I'm going to take a subway now. I'm going to go eat. I'm starving.
Oh, you're starving, huh? Yeah, I know the feeling. We just had a big pizza here. That's very nice. Well,
with extra cheese and
don't say no more. Please, don't say no more.
Well,
what's your first name? What's your first name?
Joey.
Billy?
Joey.
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 Yeah.
And how long have you lived in New York?
All
your life, huh? That's very nice. What do you think of the town?
Well, you know, depending on the human being, I mean, as far as me, I mean, it's normal.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you know, as far as, you know, it's no problems, nothing happens to you, you know, it's beyond that.
Yeah,
I mean, I just go live day by day. I don't think of the future, I don't think of the past, I just go day by day basis.
Well, that's the way to do it.
We wish we could offer you $1,000, but we can't, but what's... but...
I love it. Don't worry about it. I love it. Don't worry.
What's your favorite radio station? What's your favorite radio station? And if you say it right, we'll.
Sorry.
That's not right.
Any station. That's all right.
Is
anything got music? Anything that got good music?
How about WUSB, Stony Brook?
Well, yeah, I never heard of it, to be honest.
Well, now you have. In fact,
you're on it at this very moment.
That's right. You're on the air now.
Oh, thank you. I'm shocked, you know, and I've never heard of it, and I'm proud to hear a little bit about today. If you tell me AM or FM, I guarantee you I'll put it on.
It's FM, and it's 90.1. I doubt if you can get it
90.
In New York City.
Isn't that the rock station they give at from 4:30? From 4:30 to 5. I think from 4:30 to 7.
No, it's a different one.
It's a different one.
Yeah, we're Long Island's non-commercial alternative.
We're calling from Long Island in Stony Brook, in fact.
Yeah, right now all of Long Island and Connecticut can hear you.
I didn't win $1,000, right?
Well, no.
I'm guaranteed of eating pizza today.
Well, $1,000...
I'm not going to eat steak, and I did win $1,000, but I guarantee you I'll eat pizza.
Oh, it was a good pizza pie we had, too.
Oh, it was great. We had Pepsis, too. Oh, well, I can't say that.
No. But we had sodas that went along with it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it was very nice.
I'm having me Sylvia's pizza with sausage,
ooh,
a pepperoni or something with it.
How about mushrooms?
I'm starved. Yeah. I mean, I've been out all day.
Well, why didn't you get something to eat?
I had something to eat, but I mean, like junk food.
Yeah.
Are there any pizza
to his health food? I didn't know that.
And I'm planning to go home and
junk
get lunch,
food,
but I figured I'll have a quick bite before I go home.
Are there any pizza parlors open at this time of night?
I might try to find one, I guarantee that. I'm going to the west side now. I'm walking over there to the west side, just, you know.
Isn't there an all-night pretzel vendor in front of Central Park?
An all-night pretzel vendor in front of Central Park.
Or is an ice cream. are you with anybody now? Or
I'm by myself.
You're by yourself, huh?
I'm by myself. I'm ready to just crack into something that got to do something with food.
Yeah.
And I'm munching.
Well, New York is the place for food, I'm told.
Yeah.
I mean, you can eat in places in New York every night, and by the time you die, you'll never eat.
Yeah,
every
I'm just enjoying it. Like you just said, you know, I'm not worrying about dying. I'm just worrying about living. No, that's what counts.
That's for sure.
You know, I'm afraid that I might die tomorrow, and if I don't eat today, you know, it's too bad for tomorrow.
True.
So go get that big junk food pizza.
I just want a big junk food pizza. That's it.
Well, sir, it was an honor and a pleasure speaking with you, and we hope you find our
pizza.
Likewise,
likewise.
We hope you find your pizza, and we hope it's a damn good one when you get it.
I'm finding something great. Don't worry about it. I'm finding something. A dough, a pizza, French fries, hamburger, I don't care what it is. It's going to be food.
Okay, then.
Okay.
You take care of yourself.
Thanks,
and, Donna.
Bye-bye.
See you again real soon.
Hello.
Bye.
Okay.
Fred Schlatt of the B-52s, and every time I'm in Stony Brook, I listen to WUSB 90.1 FM stereo on the radio.
Hey, that was really good. The selector here on USB. 5 minutes after 3 o'clock. Good dub alternative.
At WUSB 90.1 FM.
Stony Brook. And this is Radio Free Long Island. Doing all sorts of crazy things. And
getting all sorts of telephone calls.
To a phone ringing dub. Isn't that something else?
That's something else.
Well, we're going to sign off now, and we're going to give you all sorts of static, dub static, of course. Well, do you want to let Frank say something?
Well, why don't we just say we'll be back next week, and we can be back. We heard any other time as well.
We'll be back all the time. We're taking over this station. That was really good. What do you think of this? Huh? Yeah.
Yeah. Frank, would you go out to the phone, please?
Now, wait, Frank, will you first tell the folks some important information?
Thank you, Frank.
Mike, I hate goodbyes, so let's just
say anything. Let's not say anything.
Let's not say goodbye.